All right, it's time for us to begin. This morning we'll be talking about our attitude towards false teaching. When we think about false teaching, it's not hard to imagine. We see it every day in our society where there are things being taught and practiced that are not in accordance with God's Word. And some will chalk it up to a different interpretation or something like that. And there are some things that you know, that there may be a difference of opinion on. But for the most part, a lot of the false teaching that's in the world today comes out because of people thinking that they have a better idea than God, and that they want to do what they want to do instead of what God wants us to do. And so a lot of false teaching comes out of that. Sometimes it can come out of an individual's higher opinion of himself than he ought to have, and trying to develop something that from his own mind for the sake of taking preeminence. And we're going to talk about a number of those kinds of things this morning. So the foundation of religion, of the religion of Christ, is teaching. Matthew 28:18, Jesus is talking there to his apostles, and when he saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes." This is not the right verse, I don't think. Yep. "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Yeah, that's not the right passage. That's what's in the book, but unless I typed it in. Oh, I did type it in wrong. Sorry. That's a great start. 28, not 8, and 18. Okay, I got it right this time. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth.'" So, who gave Jesus the authority? God did, of course. And so he has all this authority in heaven and in earth. And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Jesus, having the authority that he gave, that God gave him, tells his disciples to go and teach. And of course, what are they to teach?
His word.
Right, exactly. And so the basis of what we teach and what we practice is based on God's Word, and through that was delivered us through the authority that he'd given to Christ and through the Holy Spirit to inspired men. And so those are the things that we need to pay attention to when we're teaching and for what we practice. And we need to keep in mind that false teaching attacks the heart and core of Christianity. And so, I mentioned earlier there are a number of religious groups that are not teaching God's Word according to the Scriptures. And it doesn't matter how pious or devout an individual may be, he cannot be pleasing unto the Lord while teaching or following false teaching. Galatians 1, 7 through 9. I'm going to go back up to verse 6 and start there to get the context. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you, wanting to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And so, Paul is writing to the Galatians here because some of them are listening to false teachers, and they're being led astray from what was delivered to them by Paul and probably others who were apostles or faithful disciples, and they were departing from that. And so he, you know, in pretty strong language, he says, you know, that even if an angel from heaven preached to you any other gospel, we need to kind of keep that in mind as we're studying through this. What poison is to the physical body, false teaching is to the soul, or false doctrine. There is no lesson in the series that he's talking about, this book, that is more important to the Christian than this. There are a lot of people who, when the day of judgment comes, they're going to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," because they failed to study the Word and know what it says, and they were led off of the path that God would have us to walk by false teachers. So let's get into the body of the lesson. First point we want to look at is that the Christian should not be amazed when false teaching arises. There are warnings and predictions of such throughout the entire New Testament. And I would say that prediction may not even be the right word there. I think Jesus knew what was going to happen and warned his disciples about that, about the idea that false teachers would come along. And I kind of want to get off on a little side point right here, because we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but how can we know when some teaching is false? Right. It's not compatible with God's Word. And one of the points that we're going to make here in a minute is that it's not anything that's not found in the Scriptures and is contrary to what the scriptures teach us is false teaching. And so there's your definition of false teaching right there. So that being the case, what is important for us to do? I'm sorry, say again. Study the scriptures, exactly. We can't recognize false teaching if we don't know what God's word says. And so it's very important for us to spend time studying God's word and knowing what it says so that we'll recognize false teaching when we see it. Whoops. Christ said that false teaching would come. Matthew 7:15 is the passage where it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." That's a pretty strong picture of what can happen. It can cost us our soul. If we're not aware of it. And then in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. We're going to talk a little bit later on in the lesson about the Antichrist. Now, there have been movies and stuff made, you know, on that topic, which are just somebody's imagination. But all an Antichrist is somebody that is against Christ. It's not following Christ, and they're going against him. So don't get caught up on that word Antichrist, you know, based on present culture. The apostles warned about these things as well. Paul warned the elders of Ephesus of wolves among the flock. From among themselves, men would arise speaking perverse things in Acts 20 and verses 29 through 30. And so there are plenty of warnings in the scriptures that false teachers are out there. And like I said in the beginning, we can see it every day in our lives as we come into contact with people that are teaching and practicing things that are contrary to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians talks about Satan having ministers. That's in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. 11 and verse 13 through 15. We'll back up to 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Paul's talking about here, you know, to get the context, that there are those who set themselves up as inspired men when they're really not. They want to be like the apostles, or they want to be apostles, but they're actually false apostles. In verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform them into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So Satan has ministers out there that are trying to lead us astray. That's his whole purpose. Remember that Satan is called a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of lying. And so his ministers are going to try to lead us astray and pull us away from God. And when you think about how Satan works, there are, you know, if somebody comes up to you, some crazy off-the-wall thing that has no basis in Scripture whatsoever, and you're trying to follow the Scriptures, you're not going to listen to that. You're going to recognize that. But what he does is he mixes some truth with his lies to help lead us astray. One example of that is when in the Garden of Eden, even when he came to Eve and he said, "You shall not surely die." Well, that was a fabrication. Not only because of sin, we can die physically. They did not have access to the tree of life anymore, so they were going to die physically. But more importantly, you can die spiritually. And so Satan uses these things to try to lead us astray. Some would depart from the faith by giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, and that's the time we're living in right now, it's latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. One prominent denominational group forbids marrying. That in this context, they're talking about demons leading people astray. And that's one way that they have done it. They speak lies and hypocrisy, and they have no conscience because it's been seared figuratively to not accept the truth from the Scriptures. Men would turn their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Also in this is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Why does this happen? Because they don't necessarily like what the Scriptures say. They won't endure sound doctrine. And because of their own desires, in other words, what I want, or what you want, we can cause ourselves to be lost because of our own desires about how we think we ought to worship. Now And we're still talking about what the apostles warned about, their warnings about false teaching. False teachers would come bringing damnable heresies. 2 Peter and chapter 2, verse 1. There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So he's talking about those who have obeyed the gospel and were following Jesus, but they were led astray by false teachers.
Mm-hmm. But we're not. But he goes on a little bit later and says, but I have somewhat against you, that is, you've left your first love. So they were possibly led astray by some of these false teachings.
Right.
And that's reason John comes up.
Right. And that's, Freddie's talking about in Revelations where the Ephesians are commended, for they were testing the spirits and rejecting those who were teaching false doctrine, but later on, the scripture in Revelations talks about them leaving their first love, and so possibly they were, even though they were testing the spirits and so forth. You know, something could have happened to cause them to be led astray. And we're going to talk about that passage in Ephesians here coming up shortly. All right. Antichrist existed to identify the last time. And I'm turning to a lot of these scriptures because I think it's important for us to read them and get them in our mind. And these are all examples of how the apostles warned about false teachers. 1 John 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And so they're talking about these antichrists and what would be another name for antichrist? Hmm? The devil? False teachers? I heard that over here. Right. So we're talking about false teachers here. Ungodly men had crept in unawares. Let me read that again. Ungodly men had crept in unawares, changes the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying God and Christ. In Jude, verse 4. For certain men had crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness. He uses the word lasciviousness in the book here. And New King James uses lewdness. And deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to be aware of, even among ourselves, someone can rise up and teach false doctrine.
I think that word crept in is maybe a key word to look at too. They don't come saying, look,
I'm a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
They come in easy and
mm-hmm.
try to ease some things in that are not authorized and so forth. So
right.
That's what we have to be careful about.
Right. Jimmy's making the point about the word crept here, that they kind of sneak in. They don't come declare themselves to be false prophets. They come creeping in, and we kind of have to be aware of that. All right. The second thing we want to look at is that the Christian is to be able to recognize false teaching when it is taught. Talked about this briefly already. The Word of God is truth, and anything contrary to it is error. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So we're talking about the Word of God, the things that were delivered to the apostles from Jesus directly and through the Holy Spirit, and then were recorded for us. We are to try the spirits, 1 John 4 and verse 1. This means examining what is taught by the standard. And of course, what is the standard? Right, God's Word, the Bible. Christ commended the church at Ephesus for trying. This is a passage that Freddie mentioned earlier in Revelations. Commended the church at Ephesus for trying some who said they were apostles and finding them to be liars. And so, how were they able to do that? Right. They compared what was being taught to God's Word, and even though these were claiming to be apostles, they were found to be liars, because what they were teaching did not agree with what had been revealed to them. Aquila and Priscilla recognized the error of Apollos and taught him more perfectly the way of the Lord. That's Acts 18, verses 25 and 26. Acts 18, beginning verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught accurately. Let me back up. Okay, let's begin with verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So what was the issue here? He didn't have the full revelation. He'd only known about the baptism of John. And so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Why? Because they recognized that he didn't have the whole truth, and they taught him the word more perfectly, and now they're sending letters to commend them and telling the brethren to receive him. Because, obviously, he heard what Aquila and Priscilla taught him, and he accepted it and then changed the way he was teaching. And of course, that You know, we talked about in the very beginning that the religion of Christ is based on teaching. We are responsible for teaching others the word. And when we find somebody who is doing or practicing something, they may not realize, in fact, most of the time they don't realize, that it's contrary to the word of God. And so we have to take opportunities like that to try to teach them. In this case, Apollos accepted what he was taught and changed and so forth. And that's borne out by the fact that they sent these letters. There is no substitute for knowing the word of God. Kind of briefly covered that as we started. We 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that we are to be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so if we base what we teach and practice on God's word and we study that word, we will recognize false teaching when we hear it. That's the whole part of rightly dividing the word, is understanding what the word is teaching and being able to apply that correctly. And so that's the first point up here. By knowing the word, we can recognize error when it's taught. And by knowing the word, we can expose error when confronted with it. Jude in verse 3, this is kind of the companion verse to verse 4 that we talked about already. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. One of the problems that we have today is that there are people who feel like they've received some additional revelation, or at least that's what they'll claim. Whether they actually believe it or not, you know, could be in question. But the bottom line is that they claim to have this new revelation, but this passage clearly says that it was delivered once for all. As we kind of think about that concept, you think about the fact that God doesn't change. Now, yes, there was a change in the law from the old law to the new law. That was God's plan from the beginning. But God doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind about something. He's been the same from the beginning of the earth. And if you go back and think about Cain and Abel, what was the problem with Cain's sacrifice? Well, obviously it was because it wasn't according to what he'd been taught by God. But Abel offered a sacrifice according to what God had taught. And because of all that, Cain slew his brother, so there was the first murder, and he was punished for that by God. And the ground would no longer bring forth its fruit for him. All because he didn't follow the instructions that God gave him. So even from the very beginning, God expects man, and has expected man to follow his word. And you know, while we have the written word that was recorded by men who were inspired of God, we got it a little different way, where Cain and Abel got their instruction directly from God. It's still God's word, and we still have to obey it, and God hasn't changed his mind about that. And so, kind of want to think about that. All right, the third point that we want to look at, before we run out of time, is the Christian's attitude regarding false teaching involves the following: a firm conception that all of its teachers and followers are to be accursed. That is, those that are teaching false doctrine are to be accursed. Is that a permanent situation for them? Hopefully not. Hopefully we, those who know the scriptures, can influence that person to make the proper correction. But as long as they're continuing in teaching false doctrine, they're going to be accursed. Recognizing that false teaching is high rebellion before God, I want to look at this verse, because to me this is a very strong point. "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree, or from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." That's pretty strong language. That false teaching is high rebellion before God. Giving no fellowship to it, Ephesians 5, 11 and 12 talk about that, as well as 2 Corinthians. We don't have time to read those because we're about to run out of time. And exposing such as we encounter it, that's one of the things that's involved regarding false teaching, that we need to expose it when we encounter it. We already talked about Aquila and Priscilla, teaching Apollos more perfectly the way of truth. Pleading with those who are part of such to accept the truth. That comes in from our teaching. We need to be teaching those that we come into contact with that are practicing things that are in conflict with the Word of God. And marking those who persist, and the key word there is persist, who persist in false teaching, and to avoid them. And there's a number of passages that talk about that. All right, that's our material for this morning. Remember, we'll have singing Wednesday night, so our next class will be Sunday morning, and we'll talk about our attitude towards false teachers. And we've already kind of briefly touched on this. Incidentally, this lesson and the next two lessons will have to do with false teaching and the like. So we're gonna wear this subject out because it's very important. All right, thank you for your attention and comments.